Good morning. It's Wednesday, 2nd of December. Our first reading for the day is Job chapters 1 and 2. I'm going to read it to you from Ralph Lovelock's book on Job. This chapter is headed The Stricken Job. I read, "When the first stroke fell, and Job learned that both possessions and children were perished together, he fell down in worship before God, and confessed in the bitterness of his grief, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" Here, as James indicates, we have an outstanding example of endurance under affliction, and we stand in awe with the writer of the book as he comments, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God with foolishness." In his second epistle, Peter lists in ascending order the elements of righteousness. They are faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, endurance, godliness, love of brethren. The greatness of Job relative to his three friends is realised when we contrast his endurance under affliction with their ready loss of friendliness merely in argument. Their own words witness to the fact that they had added virtue to their faith, and in the flow of discussion they show that they had added knowledge to virtue. They show little evidence of temperance, and of endurance, none. Job, on the other hand, was obviously well endowed with endurance, and presumably the main obstacle to the attainment of godliness lay in an imperfect appreciation of God, an imperfection of knowledge which his affliction removed, as he himself confessed to God. Hence, we may expect to see unfolded in our readings the operation of divine discipline, working that true righteousness in the life of one who was truly a son, as the writer in the Hebrews expresses it. "All chastening seemeth for the present to be not joyous, but grievous. Yet afterward it yieldeth peaceable fruit unto them that have been exercised thereby, even the fruit of righteousness." Those words come from Hebrews 12. He who had been so perfect in all his ways through hearing with his ears would doubtless strive with love to emulate the one whom he had seen with his eyes. With the second stroke, the departure of health, Job's endurance was more sorely tried, and even his wife urged him to renounce his integrity, his efforts to live a godly life. But he is still able to stand firm and answer, "Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" And the author adds that, "In all this did not Job sin with his lips." We gather from references which Job makes to his illness that the normal outcome was death, and that in speaking thus, Job was merely bowing before the divine dictum which took away even his life. Each separate day had been a blessing given by God, and if the time had come to die, he was ready to submit with patience to the supreme wisdom. As, however, death failed to come, and after many weary days of agony and opprobrium, with his friends gathered in awestruck silence about him, his mind reeled in perplexity, and in bitterness of spirit, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. As we sit with Job in our readings over the coming days, we do well to remember his patience and be prepared to learn that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy, and say with Job, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Thank you for listening to me.